So today's message, I'm really excited about, a little nervous about. And I hope to challenge you in your thinking and our way of doing church. And I've called, Is It Working? Is it working? You know, I've been an Adventist for quite some time now, which means, you know, I've grown up in the church and I've been to quite a few evangelistic events. I've been at college, which meant I spent time at a number of different churches, and I went to a number of evangelistic events. I've noticed that they tend to be quite the same, but one in particular stands out to me, just this memory and just a reflection on it. But I remember it was one of the first nights, and you know, the presenter has presented, and then a lady does a special item, and we all love a special item. And she sings a beautiful song. It's called Come Home, Come Home. Jesus is calling you home. And this is how the chorus goes. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. And it's beautiful as she sings that. But then I was perplexed because as she sings those beautiful words, this slide comes up. You know, come home, come home. And then we show a picture of these beasts. It doesn't sound all too welcoming. You know, and if we're introducing people to Jesus, then let's give them Jesus. And that's not me dissing on our prophetic heritage. I believe in the message that we have to share. I believe wholeheartedly in what we have to say about Daniel and Revelation. But sometimes I think the way we can present it can be a little bit better. I think it's had its time and place, and the way in which we share it, we need to really think about. You know, our evangelism that we did that way was born in a time and an age where theism was assumed. And that is, you know, the basic belief that there is a God. The worldview was, and people accepted that there was a God. And when you did evangelism, you didn't have to really do apologetics to prove the existence of God. It was sort of a shared belief. And we just have to show that our belief or our truth was more true than what other people had. And, you know, I'll ask this question. You know, is what we're doing working? And if it is working, does this honor Jesus? Does this honor Jesus? Are we faithfully sharing Jesus with the community around us at large? You know, and as I reflect on this and I reflect on our heritage, do you know how Big Camp was started? Big Camp started back in the day where Adventist preachers would go to a town and they would set up a tent and it drew attraction. And it was really cool and people would be all excited about it. And they would come and the Adventist preacher would challenge another preacher from a different denomination in the town. And he would challenge him to a preach-off. And they would preach, they would share verses and share ideas. And you know, no one could beat the Adventist preacher at sharing the truth and sharing all the texts, and off they would go. And then at the end of the day, the winner would take home all the spoils, and the spoils being people, and you take them back into your church and you've grown your church. But I love Sam Lenoir. He's a writer, a thinker, and a preacher from the North American Conference, and he writes this. He says, when you fill your church with people whom you won by winning the theological argument, don't be surprised if they just want to argue. And you know, our church has sort of continued in that vein, in that form of evangelism. And I just want to step back and think and reflect. You know, that way of doing evangelism, that way of sharing was born in an age known as the modern era. But if you follow cultural trends and social studies, you'll know that we're no longer in the modern era. We are in the postmodern era. And the postmodern era is asking different questions and it has different thoughts and different feelings. And so I ask this question. Is the transfer of knowledge how people are transformed and converted? Is it just merely the transfer of knowledge, information, ideas, how people are changed, transformed, and converted and become more and more Christ-like? You know, I came across this thought and it deeply challenged me. It says this, so many of us want to live in the way of Jesus, pursuing a life that is deeply soulful, connected to our real need, and good news to our world. Yet too often, our methods of spiritual formation are individualistic, information driven, or disconnected from the details of everyday life? Is what we're doing working? I just want to reflect on that question as we journey today. And what is discipleship? What does evangelism look like? What can it be? I think we need to keep thinking. We need to keep experimenting. We need to keep trying different ideas. You know, I love this picture that I came across, and it shows how we've sort of made discipleship to be, and it's painted it back with Jesus. You know, when I read the Gospels, when I listen to that, when I see those stories, when I watch The Chosen, you know, I never saw Jesus discipling his disciples like this. They didn't have a table. They didn't sit down and fill out paperwork and listen to Jesus preach. No, they lived life with Jesus. So why have we made discipleship like that? Is discipleship more? Can it be more? And if it is more, what does that look like? I leave you those thoughts to think about. And I want you to think deeply, because after this, we're going to reflect together. I'm going to break you off into some groups. But I love this thought here. You know, the Western church has lost sight of the fact that the way of Jesus is just that, a way of life. It's not just a set of ideas, what we call theology, or a list of do's and don'ts, what we call ethics. I mean, it is that, but it's so much more than that. It's a way of life based on the lifestyle of Jesus himself. Are we adopting the lifestyle of Jesus? Are we living the life of Jesus? Are we showing that to other people around us? You know, there is something about the life of Jesus that is so compelling, so real, so raw, and always has something to say. I love how one person framed it. He said, we need Christian dojos. And if you're not familiar with the word dojo, it's okay. It's not an English word. It's a Japanese word. And the word dojo means place of the way. Often you'll have a karate dojo and you'll go to the dojo to learn the way of karate. And this author says that we need Christian dojos, that we need the church to be a place where we practice and live out the way and the teachings of Jesus together in real life. What sets a dojo apart as a learning community is that it is active. It is an active learning environment where participation is expected. And he goes on to say this, perhaps what we need is a path for discipleship that is more like a karate studio than a college lecture hall. See, the thing about karate is you can't just learn it by listening to it. You can't just learn by watching it. Karate, you need to participate in. You need to get involved in. You need to practice the art of karate. And it reminded me that Jesus taught his disciples an embodied way that challenges our Western notions about classroom learning. We don't just learn from listening. We learn by getting involved and participating and being active. You know, Jesus didn't just communicate ideas. Instead, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he invited his disciples to come and join him in that way of life. Following Jesus, being a Christian, is not just a set of ideas. It's a way we live in this world. And our goal is to be like our rabbi, be like our Jesus. And Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, showing them how to live, showing him what this life was all about. He gave them a way to be in this world. See, people don't just come to Jesus for information. And we got Google for information. What we come to Jesus for is relationship, for a deep and satisfying, soul-filling relationship. We come to Jesus for the most beautiful expression of love. You know, when I look at this world, there's not enough love in this world. There is always more need for love. This world around us needs to experience the love of the gospel. That's why God came down in the form of Jesus. He dwelt among us. He got down and dirty. Jesus is a person, someone that we can know, someone that we can relate to and experience with. See, the gospel is much more than just merely information or a set of ideas. The gospel is about life transformation. And so I ask again, is what we're doing working? Is what we're doing working? I just want to share some church statistics with you. The Australian Union is, and this can be all found online, by the way, I'm not making up these statistics. The growth rate is about 1.6%. per year. That's what we're growing like as a church, which seems really nice. And in 2019, in fact, we had 1,212 baptisms and 240 professions of faith. Really awesome, praise God. But we also had some deaths and some losses. We also had some people leave the church. We also had some people that are missing. And so when you put that in perspective, that gives us a growth total of 920 people. Now that seems really cool, 920 people joined the church in 2019. But I need to add that about half of those number, and that's a conservative estimate, would be what's called generic baptisms or biological growth. And that means we're just baptizing our own, those who have grown up in the church. And I am not dissing that. Baptizing our kids is really important. But is it true kingdom growth? Are we spreading the gospel to the community around us? Is the gospel being felt, experienced, and heard in our community? And so if you take out those generic baptisms, that leaves us with just 460 baptisms per year. And when you divide that by our 546 churches in all of Australia, that leaves us with each church converting less than half a person. Is it working? And when you compare that growth with Australia, Australia is a growing country. There is need to spread the gospel in the world around us. Australia is growing, and by Victoria, the place we live, is the fastest growing state. We are expected to reach a population of 11.2 million people by 2056. The city currently sits at 5.2 million people. That's the Melbourne metropolitan where we live. And it's expected to hit 6.2 million in just 5 years. The state is growing. There are people who need to hear the gospel. To bring it even closer to home, the city of Casey, where many of us do live and some of us do work, the council right next to us. In 2017, it had a population of 323,000 people. And by 2041, so just 20 years away, it's expected to reach a population of 514,800 people. Over 500,000 people are expected to live in the city of Casey. That's a lot of people who need to hear the gospel. That's a lot of people who need to hear the love of Jesus. The world is growing. The city around us is growing. The streets are filling up with people, but the church isn't. And yet I read that with the early church, the movement that started in the book of Acts, that church was growing. That church had people coming in from all sorts of walks of life, all sorts of community. Acts 2 and Acts 4 talks about the growth of the church. Thousands joined in a day. I ask, what sort of church do we want to be? There was something about the early church that made it so compelling, so real, so present, and so meaningful to the world around it that people had to join. There was something different. There was something up with these people that they were so compelled to join the movement. Like I said, there's not enough love in this world, so there was always need to share the gospel. There is a need for us to share the love. And we need to be a community that loves, we need to be a church that loves the community around us. And to love the community around us, we first need to love each other. As a church, we need to love each other so deeply that that's seen in the community around us. So I just want to affirm a few people that don't know I'm affirming them today. Tom, I just want to affirm you. Thank you for stepping up and leading the Adra Kitchen. Thank you for the heart and the service that you have. I love what you're doing. Alicia, thank you for your servant heart. You know, anything I ask, you're always saying, yes, yes, I love what you're doing. Grace, I love your attitude at the soup kitchen, the smile that you have, the way you make people feel welcome. That's showing love. I love what you're doing. Vitek, thank you for everything you're doing with the media. Thank you for just bringing people in and empowering them and uplifting them. Thank you. Wojtek, in the sound room, thank you so much for all the work that you do and your words of wisdom and sound advice and your servant heart. Thank you. And so I want to encourage all of you today, find one person in this church and tell them why you love them. If we want to love our community, we need to love each other. What sort of attitude do we want to take as a church? You know, I strongly believe in this motto here, belong, believe, become. Belong, believe, become. And that's what I see in the life of Jesus. That's what I see in the life of the early church. Yet so often in church world, we sort of flip the script, and instead of belong, believe, become, it's sort of, if you behave a certain way, If you do these certain things and if you believe what we believe, then we'll let you belong in our little club. But I think we need to flip the script and let people know that first and foremost, they belong in this community no matter where they come from, no matter who they are. They belong here. They are loved here. The moment they walk through those doors and enter into our arms, they are so loved. Because they belong and they feel like they're welcomed here, they want to believe what we start believing because they see it makes a difference. And because they belong and because they're believing, they become not more and more like us, but they become like Jesus, the one we're trying to imitate. And I just want to share a story of how I've seen this work in my own life. You know, our friend and I, we had a Friday night program that we loved deeply, and we would always pester and invite our friends to it. And this one friend in particular, we always would invite him, but he was always busy. He had basketball and he had sports on the weekend, and so he was always busy, but we kept pestering him. We kept annoying, and we knew he played guitar and he liked guitar. And so we said, just come and play. Come and play, like you'll feel welcome. They'll love you. Come on, we just need you to play with us. It's a great community. And eventually, it became off-season. And so he didn't have to play basketball and he decided to come. And he came on the Friday night and he was welcomed with open arms. He was invited to play and he loved it. And as it went on, he came more and more and he started to get involved more and more. And eventually he started leading this band. And then we also had church on Saturday, so he started coming to church on Saturday. But it was only every so often. See, he did umpiring on Saturday. And, you know, we didn't pummel him with Bible verses about why he, you know, shouldn't be doing that. We didn't say, come on, man, it's the Sabbath, don't do that. We just loved him. We just loved him deeply. And a year or two passed, and then this guy started showing up more and more and more on Saturday. And we said, you know, aren't you doing umpiring? He said, oh, no, I've given that up. I'm just going to umpire on Sundays now. I want to be here on the Sabbath. I want to honor the Sabbath. And it was a journey that we went on with him. It didn't happen overnight. He wasn't converted in a day. It was a transformation. It was a journey that we brought him on, and it took time. And see, that's the thing. Journeying with people, introducing them to Jesus, it takes time. It takes effort. It doesn't happen in a single event, but it's something we do for a lifetime. One pastor I spent some time with said it like this: we don't do ministry by miles or by inches. I guess we don't do it by kilometers or meters. He said, we don't even do it by centimeters. We do it by millimeters. We do it the day by day. The simple events with people, the simple life with people, we journey with them. Belong, believe, become. And I just want to spend a second on this in Luke 9, and just 3 points from this. Luke 9 says this: when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus spent time with his disciples, but then he empowered them to go out and change the world. And three little things that I see in this passage here. Number one, mingle. Jesus, throughout his life, we saw that he mingled with people. He was constantly with people, all sorts of people. Sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, Jesus was with them. He mingled with all sorts of people. And here, he empowered his disciples to go and to do the same. If we don't spend time with people, if we don't get into the reality of their lives, then we're not going to have a chance to spread the love of Jesus with them. I love what Ellen White has to say. She has the most beautiful passage here in the ministry of healing. It's called Christ's Method Alone. She said, Christ's method alone will give us true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with people as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, won their confidence. Then he invited, follow me. Christ mingled with people. The disciples mingled with people. They spent time and enjoyed life and did life with people. And it took time to win their trust and to win their confidence. Can we mingle with people? Can we mingle with all sorts of people? You know, I want to have all sorts of people in my life. I don't want just Christian friends. I don't want just Adventist friends. I want friends who are atheists, friends who are Buddhist, friends who have a different perspective on life, and I want to love them the way Jesus loves them. I want to show what it's like. Can we mingle with people? You know, so often we just when we meet people, we don't want to connect with them. We want to correct them. We're going to correct them. Hey, you got to live like this, and then we connect. But instead, how about we connect with people and show them the love of Christ so that then they then correct it themselves? Number two, mingle, then proclaim. Jesus empowered them to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the gospel to others. What are we sharing with people? Are we sharing good news with people? Are we sharing the hope of the gospel with people? The gospel is good news. Behold, I bring you good news, it says. Or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Or simply, Jesus loves you. Profound, timeless truths that we can share with people. You know, if the truth that you discover in the Bible doesn't lead you to love people more, then I'm sorry, then it's not God's truth. God's truth leads us to love people deeply. So firstly, we need to mingle. Secondly, we need to proclaim. And lastly, we need to demonstrate. And I would argue this is probably the most important. We need to live it out. We need to show what it's like. One famous writer from years ago said, "Preach, preach, preach, and if necessary, use words." Our faith is one that is lived out, not one that's just merely spoken about. It's shown in our actions and in our deeds and how we treat other people. The irresistible love of the gospel. See, I want the love of Jesus to be so in us and form us so deeply that our evangelism is massive demonstrations of love. Love with skin on it. Love with skin on it is different. It gets messy, it gets real, it gets in the mess that we're going through. The incarnation is love with skin on it. God came down and dwelt with us in the dirt. He got in our mess so he could be with us and show us what true love is like. And I love what N.T. Wright says. He said, "The word became flesh," said St. John. "And the church has turned the flesh back into words, words of good advice, words of comfort, words of wisdom and encouragement." Yes, but what changes the world is flesh, words with skin on them, words that hug you and cry with you and play with you and love you and rebuke you and build houses with you and teach your children in school. What changes the world is flesh, love with skin on it, a hand out to people, people saying, "Hey, it's all right, Jesus loves you." You know, we got people who want to come to church, who need to come to church, but they're scared, they're intimidated, and maybe all they need is just a hand out that says, "It's okay. You're welcome here. You're loved here." Are we happy to extend a hand out to people, to journey with them? Following Jesus and sharing Jesus with people is a journey, and it's a way of life. And that means it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And it can be messy, and it can be uncomfortable, but that's where the awesomeness of the gospel is found. It's messy, but it's worth it. So let's be the body, and that comes from following Jesus. So I extend something to you to think about. Can we live out the teachings? Do we see Christianity as a way to live and not just a set of propositions? One book that I read just ended with this thought. No, I'll end it with this thought. Jesus continually spoke of a kingdom characterized by love that is both present and progressing. He invited his followers to seek the kingdom and pray that the kingdom would become on earth as it is in heaven. He invites us into a way of life in the kingdom in which we are empowered to live without worry, fear, or lust, to love our enemies and reconcile with one another, to live in generosity and trust, and to intrinsically care for those who are hungry, thirsty, sick, naked, and lonely. A shifting consciousness also raises new questions about evangelism and Christian witness. In a holistically orientated culture, skeptical people are less convinced by purely rational arguments about why Christianity is true, and more curious to see whether Christian belief and practice actually makes a positive difference in the character of a person's life. Knowing the transformational promise of the gospel, it is fair to ask whether a person who claims to have a relationship with Jesus exhibits more peace and less stress, handles crises with more grace, experiences less fear and anxiety, manifests more joy, is overcoming anger and their addiction or compulsions, enjoys more fulfilling relationships, exercises more compassion, lives more consciously, or loves more boldly. In any culture, but especially in the one that yearns for holistic integration, the most compelling argument for the validity of Christian faith is a community that practices the way of Jesus by seeking a life together in the kingdom of love. And I think Jesus said it beautifully. He says, and by this you will know them, the way they love one another. And so I want to do something a little bit differently here. I've ended my message, but my ideas probably aren't even that good. I want to hear your ideas. I want to hear your thoughts. I want you guys to discuss and wrestle with these ideas. And so with the pew area that you're in, so that left-hand side, you're a group. This pew here, you're a pew area here, you're a group. Maybe this pew area here, I'll split it in half. And at the back, you can join that pew area there. And Damien's just going to hand out some questions. There's a sheet of paper with questions. And I want you guys to discuss, to wrestle. And there's two area questions. There's questions about church and church life. And then there's a questions area about the way of Jesus, practicing Jesus as a way of life. And so I want you guys to wrestle with these questions together, to come up with ideas, to come up with thoughts, to make it more real and relevant in our lives. And I haven't given you a facilitator. I want you guys to lead it out together, to discuss it together. For those who are watching online, if you would like these questions, feel free to message me and I will send them to you and you can discuss them at home. There's also a sheet of paper that will be given out and you can wrestle with those ideas, you can write it down. And we'll spend, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes doing this and then we can end with a song. But if you enjoy the chat, you can keep chatting, but we will extend a space to go home. So let me just say a word of prayer and let's get into it. Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word, for your message, for the gospel that is so deeply relevant and meaningful. I pray that we can wrestle with these ideas, with these questions, with these thoughts, and we can be a community that demonstrates and lives out the way that you set forth for us. So I just pray over each and every person here. Pray that you give them ideas, you give them inspiration, you comfort them each and every day. Lord, help us to be a community. Help us to love one another and help us to love the world around us. Continue to lead and to guide us. Thank you so much for everything you've done. I leave it in your hands, Jesus. Amen.